Good evening. Such a blessing to be here still. As I said this morning, what a song, right? Glory, I'm saved. If you notice there on that third verse, it was talking about the price that was paid for us in order to be saved, God's own precious son. I'm so thankful for that. I hope you are as well. That was a blessing. I tell you, this evening's been a blessing. It was great to hear about the ministry that God has given the Blackwells. That was an encouragement to me, brother. You know why? Because it gives us hope. You know, hope about what God is still doing in this world. You know, many times as Christians, sometimes we get discouraged. You know, we think pity on ourselves, and it's very sad. You know, many times as Katie and I have been traveling this past year or so, we come across many discouraged Christians, and it's sad because we shouldn't be discouraged. We should be encouraged about what God is doing, the great work that God is still doing in our world around us today. If you would take your Bible with me and turn to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. I'll be preaching a message entitled tonight, Who is Going Today? Who is going today? Out of Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16. Verse number 20, if you're there. We're going to start in verse 20. We'll read some more later. The Bible says, And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for this congregation here. Lord, I thank you for the pastor. Father, I thank you for what you've been doing in their lives. Lord, I thank you for this conference that we have. I thank you that we're in a country where we can serve you openly. We think of those many around the world today that cannot serve you openly like we can here in America. I thank you for that. May we not lose sight of that. Father, we pray now as we look into your word that you'll bless this time. Lord, that nothing will be said or done that isn't honoring and glorifying to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an interesting phrase there in verse number 20. It's found in the first four words of the verse. If you notice it there, it says, and they went forth. And they went forth. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd like you to underline that phrase. And I'd like to ask you this question tonight. Who is going today? Who is going today? How many of you have heard of a man named John Currier? John Currier, very fascinating story. John Currier, in 1949, he was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. He later was paroled to a work farm near Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated, and a letter bearing this news was sent to him. But you see, there was a problem. That letter had never gotten to him. 10 years had gone by. It's now 1978, 10 years since his sentence had been terminated. And a state parole officer of Tennessee learns about John Currier and learns that there's this man working on this work farm because of this murder sentence that he had and that his sentence had been terminated. And he takes it upon himself to seek out John Currier and to tell him this good news, the good news that he no longer has to live out this life sentence on this work farm in Nashville, Tennessee. So this officer finds him and he tells him that his sentence has been terminated and now he is a free man. Well, you see, Christians today have been entrusted with the most important message to the world. This message of freedom from sin and bondage. This message that no longer does the world have to live in this bondage that sin has given us. This message that Jesus Christ had come and died on the cross, this perfect life that he lived. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross. He was buried and 3 days later rose again. The stripes that he bore for your sins, the stripes that he bore for my sins, for the sins of the world. Our theme this year is rescue the perishing. We've been singing the song, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. You see, we have this message. It's been given to us in God's word. We have the completed word of God. And it is our job as Christians to take this message to the world. Charles Spurgeon once said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Have you ever thought about that for a second? I had the opportunity to be with the young people yesterday at the picnic. I mean, I'm sure many of you were at the picnic. And we were talking about the difference between a missionary and a foreign missionary. You know, a missionary, simply, I like to say, is somebody who takes the gospel to the world. A foreign missionary is somebody who goes to another country and takes the gospel there. You know, the Blackwells are foreign missionaries. They've been all over the world. It's been fascinating the last couple days to get to know them and to hear the many places that God has led them over time and how they've been able to witness on so many different continents. Katie and I are going to be going to Mexico City. We've been there a couple times so far, and we've been able to witness to people there and hand out tracts and things like that. That's a foreign missionary. But a missionary simply is somebody who takes the gospel. Charles Spurgeon, every Christian's either a missionary or an imposter. Are you being a missionary? Are you someone who's reaching the people here in York, Pennsylvania? We talked about how our theme is to rescue the perishing. This ought to be our life's motto. Our life's motto, to rescue the perishing. It is no secret that our world is very dark. I don't have to tell you that. You all know your neighbors are very dark, maybe the place that you work in. Our government is very dark, our local leaders, many churches around us, very dark. It's no secret that the world is living in darkness. But the Bible tells us in John chapter number 12, verse 46, says, I am a come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So the problem is not that there's no light. The problem is who is going to tell the darkness about the light. We ought to be like a flashlight, right? We need to take the flashlight, which is the word of God. We need to take our light, the light of Jesus Christ, to the dark world around us. So tonight, for a few moments, I want you to think about that question of who is going today. If you're taking notes this evening, number one, the world is perishing. The world is perishing. Keep your finger here. We're going to come back, but turn with me to John chapter number 4. I want you to see it there for yourself in John chapter number 4. Let's start in 34. The Bible says there, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. This is a very familiar passage here, but I want to draw your attention there to verse number 35. Verse number 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. White already to harvest. You ever thought about that phrase there that Jesus uses, that they're white already to harvest? It's been told to me this way, that back in those times, the farmers would go out and see their fields, and if they could look out across their fields, and they could see that it was just starting to turn white, that meant that it was just the last day that they could harvest. It was the last day. They maybe could get 2 more days before they had to harvest it, or else their harvest would perish. They would lose all that they had worked for. I believe the point that Jesus is trying to get across here is that we don't know how much longer we have. It's no secret that we believe that we are living in the last times, that Jesus is coming back soon. We're not promised tomorrow. Remember, the world is perishing. It is estimated that every second 2 people die. Every second. Every second 2 people die. The world is perishing quickly. You can drive past the funeral parlor just about any given day of the week, and what do you find? It's full. The funeral parlors are booked up. Why? Because the world around us is perishing. But on the flip side, that every second 8 people are born. That's how quickly our population's growing today. But every second 8 new people are born. You know what that is? That's 8 new opportunities to share the gospel. 8 more. 8 more. Who is going to reach them? The Bible tells us in James chapter number 4, verse 14, very familiar verse. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. How many of you like to drink hot coffee? I love hot coffee. I love cold coffee better, actually. But I love coffee or hot tea, that sort of thing. And you've got, you know, your hot drink there, or soup, whatever it is. And you see these vapors coming up, right? And you can just imagine these vapors, and you just see them for a quick second, and then what? Gone. That's what James there has compared our life to. He says our life is but a vapor that appeareth for just a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't know how long we have on this earth. Maybe many of you in here have been blessed with many years. Some, maybe not so long. You know, maybe some of you had heard about the time that when we were at Crown, Katie and I, we had a student friend of ours, somebody that was, he was in my class, his name was Blake. I don't know if any of you have heard about this, that happened with Blake at the time when we were there at Crown, but he was out hiking one day by himself. He liked to explore that sort of thing. He was out hiking one day by himself, and he had gone back to his car. His car got stuck in the mud. He had tried to get his car out of the mud, that sort of thing. He had put a cinder block on the gas pedal and tried to, you know, hold on to the door with one hand and his the steering wheel with the other, and he was trying to get his car out of the mud, that sort of thing. Well, the car had slipped, got out of the mud, and went crashing into the side of a house, and he had gotten a really bad gash on his head. He stumbled for about a mile and then had fallen into a creek bed, and they found him 3 days later in the river. You say, wow, that's a terrible story. But that was somebody who believed he had more time. You know, he was just 19 at the time. We were sophomores in college. He was studying to be a pastor. You know, somebody that we think in our minds, oh, he's a young man studying for the ministry. He's going to go on to do great things for God. But we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know how long we have. There was a man before Katie and I had started Deputation. We were working over at Denver Cold Storage. I don't know, maybe some of you have seen it when you're driving down the turnpike, that sort of thing. But we worked for that company in the warehouse for a few years over there after college. And we became friends with many of the truck drivers, very good friends. This one we called, his name was Marty, but we called him Senior. It was father and son, Senior and Junior. We saw them just about every single day. And I got to witness to him many times and tell him about, he knew that Katie and I were going to be missionaries and go to Mexico and start churches and tell people about Jesus Christ. And I'd always invite him out to church just about every week, invite him to come out to church with us on Sunday. And you know what he'd tell me? He'd tell me the same thing every time, Pastor. He'd say, oh, that's great, Josh, that you have that. He says, but that's not for me. Oh, that's great that you're going to go to Mexico and do those great things, but that's not for me. Well, one day he said, oh, Josh, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. He said, but I'll see you Friday. He said, I've got to go to the doctor's tomorrow. There was nothing wrong. It was just his normal, you know, annual checkup type thing. He was walking into the doctor's office, and on his way into the doctor's office, he hadn't gotten all the way inside the building yet. He had fallen over. He just collapsed. His heart had collapsed on him, and that was the end of his life. You say, why do you tell me this? Because we all can relate. We all know somebody who's maybe gone on before we thought it was time, because we're not promised tomorrow. You see, the world is perishing around us quickly. Those around us are going to die and go on to eternity, maybe never hearing about Jesus Christ. Who is going to tell them? Too many people that we come in contact with are going to die without ever hearing the gospel. There are too few people going in the name of Jesus Christ. We were talking just earlier before the service about the lack of pastors in this country. But the lack goes beyond that. There's a lack of pastors, many churches without a pastor. There's a lack of evangelists. We need many more evangelists. There's a lack of missionaries. But there's a lack of Christian workers. Christians who are going to make a stand for Jesus Christ. Those who are going to say, I will be one of the ones to tell those. I'm going to be a missionary where I am. In my job, at that restaurant, in the gas station. You teens in here today, it's great to see you guys sitting up here up front. That's wonderful. But when you leave these doors today, you're going to come in contact with so many more people that I will never see, that your pastor will never meet, your parents won't get the opportunity to witness to. What are you doing to reach them? We don't know how long we have. You say, oh, I'm just a young person. Or you say, oh, I'm many years up. My time has passed. No, today is the day. What are we doing to reach those around us? Number two, we see the command given. Turn back with me to Mark chapter number 16. Number one, we saw the world is perishing. Remember, every second, two people die. Number two, the command is given. We find this in verse number 15. Verse number 15, let's read. The Bible says, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. If you notice there in verse number 15, it starts off, and he said unto them, that he there, of course, is speaking of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ who had just a few chapters before had died on the cross. The one who had gone through all those many terrible things. All the pain and anguish that he went through. He had died on the cross. He was buried and rose again 3 days later. And now he's commanding the disciples at this time. He's commanding them to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I find this command very interesting because sometimes as I feel as Christians, we get this mixed up. We get this idea that we have to go around and see everybody get saved. But you see, that's not true. You know why? Because we aren't the ones doing the work of salvation, right? That work comes from Jesus Christ. No, it is our job. It is our command to preach to them, to give them the gospel, to share the gospel. You know, sometimes we don't have time to stand there and go through the whole Romans road or whatever it may be, or start in Genesis and teach them about sin and about when Adam had first sinned, Adam and Eve, and the fall of man. Sometimes we don't have all that time, but we have time to hand out a gospel tract. We have time to invite them to church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This is a direct command from God, not a suggestion. Not something we just do in our spare time. You know, sometimes we get this idea in our head that okay, you know, it's come to the end of the week and I guess I'll go out for a few minutes and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But we're not going to reach the world that way. The only way that we can go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is by it being a lifestyle. You see, being a witness is not something that you just do. It's something that you live. That everywhere you go, you're looking for opportunities to witness, looking for opportunities to connect with someone, that you can draw them in, have that conversation with them, build a relationship that you can share the gospel with them. To go ye into all the world and preach the gospel does not just mean at the doorstep. It doesn't just mean that you witness to those that walk in through the doors back there. No, it means you witness to your coworker sitting across the table at lunch. It means you witness to that person that's pumping gas right across from you because they're stuck there the same amount of time you are. It means you witness to your waitress. You witness to your neighbor. I remember as a kid, this is something that my mother used to always do. She would give me, we'd go out to the grocery store. She'd always take me with and she'd give me a stack of tracts. She'd give me 5 or 7, whatever it was. And she'd hand them to me and she said, okay, we're not leaving the store until you've handed out all those tracts. You know, just little opportunities like that to give the gospel, to witness to those around us. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Our theme verse for this week, 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, salvation isn't just for a select few. Salvation isn't just for those that God deems worthy. No, salvation is for all. He's not slack that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. But it is our job to teach them. It is our job, the Christian's job, to go out and to witness to them. It can't just be done by the pastors. It can't just be done by the missionaries that are going into other countries and doing this. It can't just be done by the work of the evangelists. No, it has to be done by every single Christian. By each one of us reaching one person. Training that person to reach another person. George Whitefield said this. I find it very interesting. He says, God forbid that I should travel with anybody a quarter of an hour without speaking of Christ to them. And it got me thinking, how much time this past week did I spend with an unsaved person talking about something other than the things of God? Because we find that so easy. Do we not find it so easy to talk about other things other than the things of God with the lost? We spend so much time talking about sports, talking about work, talking about cars, talking about, I don't know, shopping, whatever it may be that you find interesting. Yet we spend so little time talking about Jesus Christ. What about our coworkers? What's the example that you have for them? I find that it's very hard to witness to somebody when just a few minutes before you were laughing at a dirty joke. You were using language that you shouldn't use. It's very hard to witness to somebody when they don't see you as a Christian. Because why would they want that? Why would they want Christ if you don't show Christ to them? If their view of Christ is the same as themselves. You see, in order to be a witness, you have to live that lifestyle. It's not just an action. It's a lifestyle. We see how the world is perishing. We see that the command is given. And then number three, I ask you again, who's going today? Today, in 2022, in just a few months, 2023. Isn't that amazing? This year's almost over already. I can't believe it. But who is going to be a part of that group today? If you look with me there at verse number 20, I find it very interesting, that phrase, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. If you back up to verse number 19, we're given a very specific timeline. Verse 19 says, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God." So what had just happened was Jesus Christ had just ascended up into heaven. His earthly ministry has now done. And then we see in verse 20, there's a group of people, a very specific group of people, that were going forth and preaching the gospel, just like they were commanded to do in verse number 15. But I'm here to tell you something. You ready for this? They're all gone. All those people are gone. So here's the question. Who today? Who today? Who will be a part of the group, "And they went forth"? Imagine we were to get to heaven one day, and I don't know all of what heaven's going to be like. The Bible's given us just a little glimpse of what glory is going to be. But imagine we were to get to heaven one day, and God was to open a book, and it was the history book from the time that he gave us his finished word all the way up until the time that he calls us all home. And he gets down there, and he's reading through each year of different things that had happened. You know, he gets to 2020, and he probably skips that because of COVID. And then 2021, he probably skips that because we're still complaining about COVID. But then he gets to 2022. And in 2022, he talks about a group of people that were witnessing, a group of people that were sharing the gospel with the lost. And my question for you, would he be talking about you? Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. It probably won't. But imagine with me for a minute that it did. Would you be a part of that group? And they went forth. In 2022, and they went forth. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. I want to look quickly at the life of Paul. The life of Paul, a great example of someone that was a part of the group. In his day, he was a part of the group that were going. But there in Romans chapter number 1, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." You see, Paul was separated unto the gospel. Paul was going. Paul went, and he told many, and he saw many saved. He saw great things done. Not because there was anything special about Paul, but because he was willing to go. Because he was willing to tell others about Jesus Christ. Could you put your name in there in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 1? Could you read it there? "Josh, a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God." Put your name in there. Can that be known about you? You see, Paul goes on later to tell Timothy that he doesn't care about anything else about a person other than the fact that they knew Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Imagine if all we cared about with somebody was if they knew Jesus Christ or not. Would that not change our lives? Would that not change our outlook? Change our daily walk? Every single time Paul went somewhere new, you know what he did? He asked them if they knew Christ. Every single time he met someone, he didn't ask them what their favorite sports team was. He didn't ask them where they work. He didn't ask them how much money they make, what kind of house they live in. No, he asked them if they knew Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Can I tell you about him? Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. Verse number 14, here in Romans chapter 1, Paul reveals something very interesting. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I've got that phrase there circled in my Bible. I am debtor. Paul says that he's in debt. He's in debt. You say, how could that be? How could Paul be in debt to these people? What does he owe them? Well, if I could give you an example very quickly, it's like this. I've met the Wirtzes before. I don't know if many of you knew this, but my wife Katie and Nate are cousins. How many of you didn't know that? Oh, wow, a bunch of you. Yeah, my wife Katie and Nate over here are cousins. We've met before. Say the Wirtzes weren't able to be here tonight, and Nate was to say to me, okay, Josh, I can't be there tonight, but I owe Pastor $20. I don't know if that's true. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. That's for you guys to figure out later. But say he was to say, okay, Josh, I'm not going to be there Sunday night, but I owe Pastor $20. He says, here's the $20. I'm going to give it to you for you to give to the pastor. You see, once he then gives me the $20, he is now not in debt to the pastor anymore. He has paid his debt and said, you have to give it to him because I can't be there. Now, I would be the one that would be in debt to the pastor until I take that $20 and give it to him. You say, okay, what are you talking about? Well, this is what had happened. Back in Mark 16, 15, Jesus Christ had said, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God had given the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're taught that in 1 Corinthians. God had given us the gospel. He gave it to Paul. And he said, Paul, okay, it's your job to take this gospel to every creature, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul realized that until he did that, that he was in debt to those people. When's the last time that we shared the gospel with someone? When's the last time that we've tried to pay that debt? That command is for all of us. The command to witness, the command to send the light, the command to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, to give the gospel to those around us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've had many say, and I used to say it myself, oh, I can't do it. How many of you have ever heard that? Pastor, you ever heard that? You ever had somebody say, I can't do it? I can't get up in front of somebody. I can't get up there and speak. I can't go knock on their door. I can't tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I'm too scared. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to maybe yell at me. Maybe they'll spit at me. I can't do it. Look with me at verse 16. Verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Why? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You see, it's not because of me. I don't get up here and preach because there's anything great of me. I don't want to go out and witness because there's anything great of me. No, it's because of the power of God. The power of God. I didn't used to like speaking in front of people. I didn't used to like singing in front of people. But I could get over that simply because the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. You see, that ties me back to what I said earlier. It's not our job to see them all saved, because we won't. Not everybody is going to get saved. I wish it was that way. But simply, some are going to reject us. Some are going to reject Christ. But all we have to do is preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul recognized that the power wasn't from him. That's how he says he's not ashamed. That's how we can be not ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. Who cares what they think of you? Who cares? Who cares what your coworkers think? You think I haven't been called Bible thumper? Been there. Jesus freak? Been there too. Who cares? Just give them the gospel. How sad would it be if people that we've known for a long time, people that we work with, friends, family, we're to go on into eternity without ever hearing about Jesus Christ because we didn't tell them. Who is going today? Who's going to share the gospel? You see, I can't reach everyone. Mexico City is 22 million people. That's an astronomical number. I can't reach them all, but I can do my part. and I can train others to do their part. York, Pennsylvania, I don't know how many are people here, but York, PA, you can do your part. I won't be here for long. Brother Blackwell won't be here for long. We'll be here till Wednesday, maybe Thursday, and then we're gone. On to another church, on to another area that God has called us to, sent us to. But you all that are here, that can reach this neighborhood, how great would it be if it could be said that every single person in York, PA had heard about the gospel? It's only going to be done if all of us do our part. Who is going today? If you would bow your head, we'll pray and I'll have the pastor come. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross. Lord, that we can spend an eternity in heaven. Father, that we don't have to go to hell. But Lord, that you paid the price for our sin. What a price it was. Lord, I thank you for that. Father, I pray that you'll work in our hearts now. Lord, that you'll help us all to be a better witness. Father, help me everywhere that I am, whether it be here in the States or in Mexico, Lord, to be a better witness. Father, I want to see souls saved. Give me a burden for the lost. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.